Oh, there it is. There it is. Good. Hey, hey, hey. There we are. I do have a mic. It just didn't sound like it. That's a great beginning. Get my brain focused. So if you hear that music, you know you're listening to A Spiritual Perspectives, a real conversation about real life from a, well, spiritual perspective. One of the pieces I always like to point out during Spiritual Perspectives programs, this is an invitation to you to join in, whether you join in by listening and thinking about what it is we're talking about, or whether you join in by giving us a call to ask that question or bring up that point that I hadn't thought of. The phone number in the station is area code 415-543-8255, which 415 is, of course, San Francisco, 543 spells KID, and 8255 is TALK. So we'd love to have you join in. This morning, we have a wonderful guest with us for Spiritual Perspective. She's going to be presenting here in the Bay Area next week, Tuesday the 27th and Thursday the 29th. Our program this morning is sponsored by both the First Church of Christian Science Los Altos and the First Church of Christian Science Menlo Park. We're delighted to have her. Our guest this morning started out her world in the Greek Orthodox Church, but at an early age, with her mother, joined in a love of reading the Bible, particularly inspired by accounts of healing. This gave her the hope to move forward in her life during some troubling childhood experiences. And I know that right at the moment, the world is in such an amazing flow of transition that sometimes it's a little tricky to remember that all of that deeper inner part of us is very, very much real. At one point when her family broke up and they were penniless, some relatives invited our guest to live with them, and they had two rules for her. One is that she study music, and the second, they wanted her to attend Sunday school at their local Christian Science church. Well, that study of music put Kari on the road to becoming a professional opera singer. The other led to a deeper understanding of the power that's always present and the healing laws that exist and work even in our physical universe. As she studied science and health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, this practice led her forward until one night, on stage at a symphony hall in Boston, singing to a large crowd, she found herself thinking, you know, I'd rather be sharing spiritual ideas with this audience than just singing to them. And from there, she moved forward to become a Christian Science practitioner. So we're talking to a professional spiritual healer this morning, and we want to go into concepts about that deeper part inside of us and that deeper connection with our source that provides and establishes healing. So everybody, this is Kari. I'm laughing because we had a fun email exchange as I gathered how to pronounce her name, but this is Kari Machos. Kari, this is everybody.
Good morning, and you said my name perfectly. Thank you for that.
Oh, yay, yay. Couldn't get the microphone figured out, but got your name right. I'm batting like 50% here. That's perfect. Good morning, Kari. So one of the questions I'd like to open out with is, what do you say to skeptical people when they say, nah, there's nothing to that healing stuff? Just every now and then people have their own, you know, even medicine agrees that sometimes there's a spontaneous remission of a disease. What do you say back to that aspect when people are really wondering, even though they're being skeptical, but they're wondering on the inside, can that deeper healing part of us actually work?
I say consistent evidence of healing speaks pretty loudly to me.
Yeah, if science was really science, they're supposed to gather evidence, aren't they?
Absolutely, and Christian Science, of course, has had evidence of healing for over 140 years, but in my own experience, I mean, I'm just such a practical person. I kind of demand proof, so I've stuck with this, and because I keep getting more and more proof of God's healing love for us and the practical power of spiritual healing, makes sense to me.
Well, then let me dive in there. Have you got any kind of not even your own, and we'll loop back to that, but any kind of other stories where you've gotten to witness people stepping out of a state of, whether it was an emotional state or a physical state? Because that's one of the things that I always like to point out is healing should not be reserved for disease. But have you got any stories that you can share where you've truly witnessed this in such a way as to know it, not have to believe it, but to know it?
Right, and I think you hit on such an important concept there about not just believing, but knowing God. And that's what I find so important in healing, that we realize God is not mysterious. This isn't blind faith. God is to be known, and he is knowable, as the Bible proves time and time again. I have so many experiences, both from my healing practice and my own. But, you know, I'll just tell something, several weeks ago for myself, I came down with a really severe case of food poisoning. I know you don't want to talk about it, just sickness, but I won't. This was very severe. I felt like I was in danger, honestly. I realized I had two choices here. I could accept the common conception that food poisoning is real. That was suggesting itself to me quite strongly. Or I could...
Let me back that up again. I really want you to bring that statement out, because people that are listening for a first time, there was a lot of information in there. I could accept the concept that food poisoning is real, which was suggesting itself to me quite strongly. I'm sure you were probably seated somewhere near the bathroom at that point.
Yes, I was.
So say what that means, yeah. Was suggesting
itself.
Well,
that means that, well, it's because everything in our experience is first taken in by thought. That would be the first place I would look, rather than, and I know that seems rather radical, but rather than look at my body and try to figure out how to fix it, I immediately go to what the suggestion of thought is, and that is basically that food poisoning is real, and that certain chemicals react and you're in danger, and this, that, and the other thing can happen. So you have to understand that whole underlying concept, that thought actually governs our body.
Now,
so that's why I could go to one or the other, and I'll share the other in a minute. What's your question?
So sorry. That's so backward to everything we get taught in standard traditional Western education. Even subliminally, we get taught that our body's in charge of how we feel, as opposed to us being in charge of where we are, regardless of our body.
That's right. It's really a false education process, which Jesus completely turned on its head. And I often wonder Jesus just turned everything we believe about the physical world that we're living in on its head, and proved way beyond what we were accepting as real, and showing that in fact harmony and good and health are real. So I often wonder, why aren't we delving more into what Jesus scientifically proved? I mean, doesn't that make you want to think more?
Well, they gave it a name in science. They called it the placebo effect, and then they try to pretend as if that means it's unimportant.
That is one step. That's one step of that whole concept of thinking governs our body.
So here you were. Your body was trying to send you a message of, Kari, you're sick. You're really sick. And rather than buy into that message, which is sort of like, you know, trying to believe your, I don't know, sister-in-law's belief system about life, perhaps, or one sister-in-law. I don't have one, so I can say that safely. But rather than believe that body message, what was your next step here?
My next step was actually the foundation of Christianity throughout the world, and Jewish theology throughout the world. One concept, that basic God, first commandment, God is the only God, the only power. That's the basis of everything. That's the foundation. That is why we understand God, is because we obey that first commandment. There are no other gods before God. There are no other powers. There is no other intelligence but God. So as I reason that out, I could rely on that divine intelligence to maintain and govern me. And because that divine intelligence is also love, as the Bible points out God is, that love was right there to comfort me and heal me. And I was, just a few hours. Wasn't instantaneous, did take a few hours, but it was, due to the severity of it, I was very pleased that I could see the freedom from that. But that, again, every time something like that happens, it encourages us to look even deeper into this concept of God, not farther away, but look deeper into it. Doesn't it to you?
Well, if God is all there is, and if God is love, and love is everywhere, I think I'm starting to quote the Beatles now, that becomes a place to gravitate toward. But I know a lot of people think of it as, well, maybe I'm just lost here on my own. God is some separate entity watching to see whether or not I measure up. And if I measure up, then maybe I won't get spanked too badly by this great Father in the sky. Let's kind of like reframe that one a little, if we could.
Yeah, let's. I agree. That's really tragic, isn't it? To walk around with that false sense of both God and yourself.
Well, it's such a classic phrase of, I'm a God-fearing person.
Yeah. Well, if you look at Jesus, and this is what we'll do in my lecture, I really look deep into what Jesus taught. It was that we are the love children of God, that God is present. He's not far away. And I think that that is true Christianity, knowing how linked we are to God and his great love. And that just washes away. I'll tell you, I'll share in my thinking lecture, I share a healing of psychological effect from abuse and neglect in early childhood, where people feel like they have to carry that around forever, and it patterns their behavior, right?
Mm-hmm.
But seeing God as Father, Mother, God, as that love, and our link to God, just washed away all of that resentment, even fear, hate, washed away bad behavior patterns, and I could see that the purity of our true nature.
No, I was just soaking that in. Could you say that last part again? That connection with God.
Yes, that connection with God as our Father, Mother, washed us away all resentment, fear, hate, and shows us the purity of our nature.
I think you've hit a really important point, the purity of our nature. I know for some of us out here roaming around in the world, and a lot of the education out there, the subliminal education, really has a sense that we're, I see it a lot of times even in 12-step programs, that we're broken trying to figure out how to pretend and act like unbroken people would act, as if at the core we're a broken thing. And at the surface, we're trying to figure out how to act the way an unbroken thing would act so that eventually we could match up to unbroken levels. And I think that's got it backwards.
I would completely agree with that. Both from experience, but also from the teachings of Christian Science, and have to go back to Jesus, the ultimate healer here, where he said, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. It was an established fact to him of what we already are. So we always start with the truth and think ourselves out from there, rather than from the bottom, as you were saying.
I love that phrase. So we start from the truth and think ourselves outward from there, which comes back to, in the Genesis portion of the Christian Bible, it certainly says God breathed the breath of the Spirit into the hunk of the mud, as it were, and formed mankind in God's own image. And that certainly has nothing to do with fingers and toes, because I certainly see mankind that has different numbers of fingers and toes. So your perspective here that you've watched healing grow from is a perspective that central nature of us, that inherent nature of us, is a pure nature, and everything that gets distracted from that is a confusion?
Yes. That was easy.
Okay.
Job is done. Yes, you know.
I guess it wasn't much of a leading question then, was it?
No.
Yeah, that's right.
It's what St. Paul said. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Beautiful. I'm going to take just a second, Kari. I want to let people know where you're going to be here in the Bay Area. So I'm going to take just a second to let you know that we're talking with Kari Machos this morning. Kari is a full-time practitioner of spiritual healing. She is a practitioner through the Christian Science Church. She's going to be here doing two presentations coming up on Tuesday the 27th and also on Thursday the 29th. So that's next week. So Kari will be here on Tuesday the 27th. She'll be speaking The Closer View of God and Its Healing Effect. And she'll be talking about that. That event that evening will actually be in the Los Altos High School Eagle Theater, which is on Almond Ave, 201 Almond Ave. That's Tuesday evening at 7:30. The talk is actually a gift to the community, sponsored by the First Church in Los Altos. And let me give you a phone number for that one. The phone number is 650-948-4541. At the end of this, I'll give you a website that's got all of this. But that phone number is 650-948-4541. And then on Thursday evening, she'll be talking about taking charge of your thinking. Taking charge of your thinking. And we're going to go a lot more into both of these while we're chatting this morning. That event will be at the First Church of Christian Science in Menlo Park. That's at 201 Ravenswood. Wow, that's really interesting. Are they both 201s? That's what they show in my notes. That's at 201 Ravenswood Ave. That's Thursday evening at 7:30. And there's a phone number for information about that one, which is 650-322-5600. 650-322-5600. Now, I know a lot of you are web savvy, so let me tell you that you can find all of this information on the website for the Church of Los Altos, and it's just CS Church Los Altos, all run together, of course, because it's a web address. CS, like Christian Science Church, losaltos.com, and then hit on the events and just go right in there and look on the 27th and the 29th. Both of those evenings are sponsored as a gift to the community, so there is no charge to you to attend. Bring a friend with you. And in both events, they're actually also offering childcare. Now, I know I've been to these events before, and I'll say, get there early. Okay, I went to one of them, and they had to drag out extra chairs from the kindergarten room, so I was sitting on this little tiny kindergartner's chair and still very, very happy to be there. So that's the event coming up on Tuesday and then on Thursday. And again, that website is www.cs, like Christian Science, Church, CSChurchLosAltos.com, and then just go directly into events. So, Kari, that brings us around The Closer View of God and Its Healing Effect. I know that you've got a whole hour's worth or more, probably more than that, talk about that. But let's just touch into what's that actually saying, the closer view of God and the healing effect of that closer view.
Well, it's like what you were mentioning earlier. People think, you know, he's some big daddy up in the sky and I'm off in my own orbit. But instead, when we look at the Bible and the prophets and Jesus' life, we see that God, the closer people understood God, the nearer they found themselves to him spiritually, the more they saw the healing effect of that in their lives. And again, what an important concept for us today.
Mm-hmm. I think that's deeply, deeply rich, because there's a funny place where, and even as a child, I found it sort of weird. I grew up in a Presbyterian church and had my own little belief system and my own way that I understood what they were saying. And then every now and then I'd get startled to find out that everybody didn't see it the way I saw it. I found it odd to think that God sort of hung out for a while. And then, you know, about 2,000 years ago, he said, yeah, that's enough miracles. I'm done. I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah, I found that odd as well, because there's nothing in the Bible that says that.
In fact, there's a place where, and it's funny to me that I think it's in Matthew, isn't it, that basically quotes Jesus himself when he was here. And Jesus is a pretty huge teacher in a number of religious studies, not just Christianity. So he made quite a mark, considering there's no Kinko's and no flyers and no web address. But at one point he's quoted as saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, but all these things I do, so shall ye do, and greater things shall ye do in the name of God your Father.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found it very interesting when I've run into belief systems that say, no, 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 no. Don't you be thinking you have a connection to God. So what's the sense of it from the direction that you've watched and witnessed in terms of, you know, how life really works as opposed to just some book-read belief system? What have you seen about that connection with God in terms of healing, not just on physical levels, but even, say, fear or anxiety or anxiousness or even a sense of self-deprecation?
Well, there are many things in your question. So,
well, yeah, I gave you one question you could just say yes to. You didn't expect it to be easy all the way, did you?
Yes, you know, let me just say, that willingness to look at Jesus' life and proofs of healing outside of dogma and ritual are the thing that freed me from the weight of feeling separated from God. And, of course, Mary Baker Eddy did that. She was willing to look deeply into Jesus' life and his teachings, and she found that lost element of Christianity, healing through a systematic method of Christian prayer. So for me, it's so important to see evidence, and that's what this first lecture is about on Tuesday, is why we see that evidence of God with us here today, how we can do that, the importance of it to prove that God exists. You know, no one can convince me, no matter how hard they try, that God does not exist. For one reason, I keep seeing proof that he does.
Yeah, that'll do it. So how did you make the move into making your entire full-time life being about a practice of spiritual healing, Kari?
You're doing pretty well with the name. Okay.
Yes, spiritual hearing works too, but I meant to say healing.
You know, it's just a constant, wonderful efforts of learning more about God. To me, God is the most important subject to base your whole life on, because it infuses into your life the practicality of good, of love, of compassion, of honesty. And so, for me, I had to make some big changes, because I kept feeling that impulse to know more about God. And sometimes, some of your audience may know that, maybe you know that, but sometimes our back's against the wall, and we really do have to do something different. Things just are not working the way they should, or we feel they should. And I had to make some big changes, and it was through prayer and what I was learning about Christian Science prayer that made such a huge difference in my life.
Yeah, I think that's the quote that's attributed to Einstein, although Dr. Phil seems to be taking it over. But basically, to continue doing the same thing you've been doing while expecting a different result is the definition of insanity.
Yes, well, you know, it's that Christ within all of us, that true nature that you and I were talking about earlier. That is a constant pulse that we each have, every single one of us. And it links us to the true concept of God and ourselves. And it's listening to that, and prayer helps us do that. And learning more about God helps us do that.
You know, I know all of our regular listeners are involved in one level or another of evaluating their world and looking at personal growth. And certainly if you're scanning across the dial this morning and you just bumped into the program and found yourself anchored, guess what? You're in the right place. One of the things I've noticed showing up as everything in the world is accelerating, and in that acceleration getting a little more externally crazy, is people are beginning to have to recognize that there's some inner part of them that keeps driving them forward, even when otherwise they would have surrendered to the patterns of their thinking and sort of like given up or muddled over or just gone dead. I know you've said it, but I'd just like for you to talk again about that innermost part of our nature that sort of keeps shoving us forward when otherwise we might just like back down into illness, disease, bad thinking, or mediocrity.
Yes, well, those toxic thoughts that want to say all those negative things, and fear and hate and resentment and anxiety and stress and all of that, those are toxic thoughts. Jesus made that very clear. And the Christian qualities that we all feel innately, we do feel these qualities of wanting to love. There is some small element of wanting, or even to feel that what we're doing wrong, hating a neighbor or whatever, there's something not quite right about it. The important point is, what do we do with those toxic thoughts? and how do we see more of that true nature impel our lives? And guess what? I'll be talking about that on Thursday.
Exactly. That was just such a nice seg. I like that a lot. So your title on Thursday is very intriguing, Taking Charge of Your Thinking. I know most of the world seems to really pretty much think that their brain thinks them, and that they're at the whim of whatever it is that their brain comes up with, as if there were no, call it free will, in that equation.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And like I had alluded to a little bit earlier, the healing of psychological damage, we could say it was the pattern of psychological damage, of brain chemistry, that, you know, you just can't get out of that. It's infusing my behavior. It's infusing the way I think about myself. And there you're stuck in those toxic thoughts.
Yep, it's all mom's fault.
It's all mom and dad's fault.
They did it when I was three, so there's no way for me to ever break out of that. So when you talk about taking charge of your thinking, I know where I go with that title, but tell me a little bit about what that means, stepping up and taking charge of your thinking rather than just being your thinking.
Yeah. The first thing is to, as I said earlier, you have to go to God first. Because he's, as you called him, the source, that wonderful, only power. You have to go to God to get a clear concept and to know, well, what is right and what is wrong thinking, what is toxic thinking. So the more I understand about God, for instance, and I'll share some of this on Thursday, but the more I saw God as the only Father and Mother who is with me right now, and understand what that father and mother is and does, the more I can relate myself as a child of that father and mother. And that impresses my every thought and action to be godlike.
Well, you've used the phrase "go to God," which brings us around to one question we ask in every production of Spiritual Perspectives. Very, very simply, Kari, what do you mean when you use the word prayer? What does that word mean to you? Because I know there's a lot of education of prayer is basically reciting a memorized rhyme system and doing that once a day. And that's not a bad prayer, but there's a much broader perspective. So what is it you mean when you talk about prayer, or in this case, go to God?
Go to God. Yes. I love talking about prayer, but more importantly, I love doing prayer. And to me, as Jesus went always to God, to me that would be the example of where we should go to first, that correct view of God. If you don't mind, I'd like to share a few things about this. So sit back and relax.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
But a few things on that is when I pray, I have to let go of what my eyes are seeing, my ears are hearing, the stock market is doing, the job statistics say, et cetera, the psychological damage beliefs are trying to say, as I shared earlier, and listen for what is spiritually true. So to know what is spiritually true, I would have to go to the Bible. I would have to go to what it is, it is informing me of what God is. And so there are just so many ways, and Mary Baker Eddy brings that out in Science and Health, of all the ways the Bible describes God and how we relate to that. So that would be the first thing. But to me, prayer is, to me, effective prayer, because there, as you said, there's so many ways to pray, and I'm sure none of them are without significance. But what is effective prayer is living what we correctly contemplate God to be.
Ooh, say that again.
I thought you'd like that.
You're right.
Effective prayer is living what we correctly contemplate God to be. Mary Baker Eddy wrote that a correct understanding of God restores harmony. Jesus kept lifting people's thoughts about how they viewed themselves in God. He lifted them up to what is true. People say he lifted them up to the light or whatever you want to say, but he lifted them up to the truth. That changed the way they thought, and that had effect in their experience and on their body. Why? Because thought governs the body. We don't do anything without thinking about it first or having a thought about it. So that correct view of God does make a difference.
Wow. I love that. Effective prayer is living what we correctly contemplate God to be. So you don't see prayer as just a three-minute thing on your knees with a certain set of words at all.
Absolutely not. You really have to live your prayer. You can't, for instance, people pray, they want to feel the love of God. I want them all to feel the love of God. I want everyone to feel the love of God. Absolutely. There's nothing wrong with that prayer. But we can't be praying scientifically, now I'm speaking. If you want effective prayer, you can't be praying for the love of God and then go kick the family dog. You have to live your prayer. And you know what's so wonderful about that? Is the more we live what we are correctly contemplating God to be, and in this case we're talking about love, for instance, or we could take truth, God is truth, but we want to be honest in our lives, the more we live our prayer, the more we actually understand our prayer, the more we understand God, the more we see aspects of it we've never seen before, which cannot happen unless we actually live our prayer, be God-like.
I'm just soaking that in. I love the let go of what my eyes are seeing, what my ears are hearing, even what my psychological damage is saying, and go to the truth instead of that. So how do you step beyond what your mind is so desperately wishing to believe? Well, let's jump backwards. When your mind was so desperately wishing to believe what your gut was saying about having been tainted, how do you step beyond that to get out of the looping thought that says, I'm sick, I'm going to be sick for days, it's going to get everything, you know, whatever.
Right. Well, that's where Christian Science prayer I have found to be so effective. It is a systematic method of Christian prayer. For instance, if I may, if we just looked at the Lord's Prayer, which so millions and millions of people pray daily, would you not agree? Often. Jesus prayer, the Lord's Prayer.
Oh, yeah.
If we just looked at that, and I'm just looking at it briefly, there's a gazillion ways to look at it, but it starts out with Our Father, which art in heaven. So when the thought is coming, for instance, I am, as you said, I'm sick, I'm going to be sick for days. There's a cycle of sickness here, a process of sickness. If God is my Father, and I understand Father to be the only power, and that power to be love, and that love to be the only intelligence, then I would never be looking to my body to see how the status of my health. I would see that God is the only power. If we look at more of what it says that in that Lord's Prayer, that God is present, thy kingdom come, it's here, then again I see sickness cannot have any presence. If I look farther into the Lord's Prayer, it says that thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Purify my thinking away from my own human will, away from human will entirely, but purify what I'm asking for, too. I'm asking to know God better, and myself is God's reflection. If I go further into the Lord's Prayer, I see that God does not send sickness, because it says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If God does not send evil, so if he did, otherwise, how could we pray to be delivered from it? And then I love the way the prayer ends with, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It's ending once again with this fact that power belongs only to good. To me, that's a marvelous template, the Lord's Prayer. And I've just lightly touched on it, but just a wonderful template of how prayer makes a difference in my thinking. If I'm so occupied with that, the toxic thoughts naturally disappear, and their evidence goes along with it.
So I find that I'm startled, only because it never fit in my gut, to see a number of, I'll say, religious institutions that adopt a theory of a nearly equal but opposite presence that's out to get us. That effectively was created by God, cast down by God, and now it's almost as powerful, and it is some external force out to get us. So let me toss that one in your lap. Where do you go with that, Kari?
Is that because Halloween is coming up, Scout?
Yeah, that too.
Yes, I do address that on Tuesday. Tuesday evening, because I feel that that is such an important thing to help at least think through and clear up this idea that there is a good and evil equal force, and it can be pretty precarious living in a world like that, and depending on using that as a foundation for being. Again, I go to a couple of things. God, it says in the first chapter of Genesis, that spiritual view of creation, that God saw everything and made it. It was all good. Jesus came from God and did only good because he said, I came from my Father. I do the works of my Father. It's all good, all healing. So God is good. The power of the universe is good. He also said what evil was. He defined it as a liar. Using that as a basis for living, I think it's so much easier to get to see those toxic thoughts as without any validity, so we don't have to go along with them. We see that there's no pull to them. Whenever I have a healing, whether through my public practice or for myself, I've just proven that good is real and evil is not. That's the only way to answer that question is through proof. What do you think of that?
Yeah, proof is a powerful persuader. Definitely.
I don't think there's any other way. I can't be a theorist I'm a practical person. I think we all need, as Jesus showed us, practical proof of our relationship to God.
Perfect. Kari, let me just take a moment, and in case people just tuned in, let me give them the information about the events that you're going to be presenting. Kari will be here in the Bay Area. Our guest this morning is Kari Machos. She's going to be talking about the closer view of God and its healing effect this coming Tuesday evening. That event will be at the Los Altos High School in the Eagle Theater, and the address I have is 201 Almond Ave, so that's just the Los Altos High School in the Eagle Theater. That's Tuesday evening. It'll start at 7:30. I always recommend get there a little bit early because you'll want to be able to get a good seat. And that evening is a gift to the community, so there's no charge to you for that. For information on the Tuesday evening event, you can phone 650-948-4541. 650-948-4541. At the end of this, I'll give you a website that has all of this information on it. Then Thursday evening, she's going to follow that up. Each evening is complete in itself, but, you know, what the heck? It's two nights, Tuesday and Thursday. Thursday evening, she'll follow that up with Taking Charge of Your Thinking. That'll be presented at the First Church of Christian Science in Menlo Park, and the address I have there is 201 Ravenswood Avenue, 201 Ravenswood Avenue, and that's Thursday evening at 7:30. For the Thursday evening event, the phone number for more information is 650-322-5600. 650-322-5600. Now, there's information for both of those events, the flyers and so forth. I want to mention both of them are being sponsored as a gift to the community, so there's no charge to you. Take advantage of that. And there's information about both of them, including the fact that there's child care offered for both of those evenings, so you have that available as well. You can find all of that at www.cschurchlosaltos, all run together like a web address, of course, CS, like Christian Science, churchlosaltos.com, and then just click on their events and then look for the 27th and the 29th, and you'll find Kari there. I also want to mention that the Los Altos Church will have copies of this interview on a CD in their reading room, but I'll also have it posted up on my website at lifeinsights.net. Just click on the radio button and I'll have it posted there so that you can listen to it or download it like a podcast. I'm trying to get so high tech with all of this to get all of this out there. Is there something, anything I missed on those two events? I want to make sure I covered all the details, Kari.
As far as I know,
cool.
You're okay.
Oh, good. So you know as much as I know. That's perfect. So we talked about taking charge of your thinking. And I truly think that a lot of people believe that that background mind chatter, where they're either still yelling at the driver that cut them off or, you know, cranking about this or that, I think people truly believe that that background part of their lower or deeper consciousness is just there. Is that what you've found to be true when you say, you know, it sounds like you don't think that's the case when you say taking charge of your thinking?
Right, because I understand that God is the supreme consciousness. And the more I see that and understand that, and as I talked earlier, live that idea of God, I see as God's children, as God's reflection, we have that same, as it says in the Bible, have the mind of Christ. That's what these things mean in the Bible. Very practical. So I do talk, share some ideas about God's thoughts coming to us in my in that lecture, Taking Charge of Your Thinking. I think that people will find them interesting, how I share that. And interestingly enough, when I talk about God's thoughts towards us, I usually see a lot of nodding heads, and I don't mean because they're sleeping, I'm not, but nodding in agreement, because they have, it reminds them that, in fact, they have heard God speaking to them. And so we'll talk about that and how to hear it more.
So if someone finds, because there's so much anxiety right now, there's people worried about their jobs, this, that, and the other. If someone finds that their thoughts are stuck in a loop, let's just say that someone called you as a client to ask for you to work with them as a practitioner. And what they wanted to work with was that their thoughts have been stuck in a loop of maybe it's about employment, maybe it's about money, maybe it's about their mortgage, but they're feeling a sense of hopelessness. Where might you guide their thinking so that they could find their way back out of what I'm sure at that point feels like a place that, you know, a hole that has no ladder?
Yeah. There is no cookie cutter approach to each and every person who calls me, as I know you well know. But in general, I would share the idea that, as even you mentioned earlier, Scout, this subliminal stuff going on, this, we'll call it hypnotism.
Mm-hmm.
It's constantly saying, this is what you are, this is what you are, this is what you feel. But as I said earlier, that daily prayer for ourselves, getting a real, even just one clear sense of what God really is, for instance, in this case, the only mind, the only consciousness, and then what that really is, it helps you, it helps strengthen your thought, but it also helps you actively participate in disagreeing with those toxic thoughts. I often tell people to go ahead and be disagreeable today. and they get it. You know, we often, instead of just accepting it as real, the reason we accept the hypnotism is because we've been told it's true. But when you now know that it's not true because it's not what Jesus taught, the way of God, negative thoughts, cycle of psychological stuff, it's not what God is bringing to you, then you're more aware. And the more you become aware of what is true, the less that, the more that breaks that droning, as you called it, I think.
We've made a couple references, but I want to loop back to it. You've made several references to call it a scientific approach to prayer. And I know that one of the key books, because for people listening, they may be thinking, you know, I've seen the Bible. There's a lot of pages in there. I can't just sort of like pick that up and start from the beginning and figure it out on my own. If I could have, I would have understood it in Sunday school. So one of the key books is Science and Health with Keys to the Scripture by Mary Baker Eddy. Now, I have to say that one part, certainly when she brought that book out, science actually had a very definitive meaning, a little less so now that they claim it in every TV commercial. But she really describes it as science and health. Science?
Systematic method, proven time and time again, using the same premise in every situation and then seeing the effect of that. Sure. Again, didn't Jesus do that? Didn't he tell us to, as you quoted, Scout, that Jesus said, you know, the works that I do shall you do also. There's something beyond this sort of surface view of what Jesus brought for us. There's this deep scientific, or you used a phrase which I actually used a lot earlier, the way life really works.
Mm-hmm. So when you, I'll say, found that book, because I know you weren't originally raised around it, when you found that book, what was that like to bump into Science and Health with Keys to the Scripture by Mary Baker Eddy?
It was, this is telling me what God is, because as God was always central to my life. For some reason, I just kept feeling that. And of course, then I realized that reason was because it's the Christ within us, our true nature. So that was startling at first, to realize that there's so much depth to God. And that was also very exciting. Proving it has been a step-by-step process, continues to be, but one that, because I've seen so much proof, I know I'm on the right track, and I'm so happy to see others free from disease and sickness and financial problems and psychological disorders, etc. It's just so wonderful to see that work. So when I started reading Science and Health, it was, as I believe you know, you've looked at it, it's deep. It's deep and it's logical, and that's what I love. It's so logical. It's so well-reasoned. And explain to me, for instance, her chapter, Atonement and Eucharist. For me, it was very important because it explained Jesus and the Christ and the Holy Ghost and how important those things are to us, how important Jesus is in those concepts of the Christ and Holy Ghost. That meant a lot to me, and it sort of lifted off a feeling that it was just sort of ritualistic concept. But here it was living, possible living of this truth.
You've raised a really interesting point that, what the heck, let's just toss it right out there in the listeners' laps and give them something to chew on for a while. You just spoke of Jesus, and then you spoke of the Christ as not necessarily he was the only owner of that particular commodity.
Well, he is the one who embodied it so completely, fully, and he did fulfill the biblical prophecy of the Messiah or the Christ. So no one can take his place. That's that. But he is no longer on earth. But the Christ is here because the Christ is part of the Trinity of God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The Christ, that message, that nature. What we really are, that's here and now. You can't lose that. That can't come and go. God doesn't come and go. The Christ doesn't come and go. And neither does the Holy Spirit. That healing effect on human consciousness, that Holy Spirit moving within our thinking and changing the way we think about ourselves and God and making that, like I said, a healing effect. Yes. Does that help?
Perfect. So if you glance at these two textbooks, you know, the Bible's got some bazillion pages to it, so much that they have to put it on really thin paper. And then Mary Baker Eddy's book is not a quick read.
Mm-hmm.
Someone could find that daunting and just decide, well, it's totally overwhelming. There's no way I can read both of those books and then start to understand this healing stuff. I need to be able to activate my innermost nature so that it elevates the truth in my nature beyond the confusion of my external, beyond what my eyes are seeing and my ears are hearing. What would you say back to that if somebody was just saying, I don't know where to start?
Exactly. Well, neither did I. I mean, I had to me, I began with that Bible of a few key things that helped clue me in and begin understanding more of what God is. One is the 23rd Psalm. It's so beautiful. It starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd." I love that idea of God being our shepherd and guide. Well, I could just take that one idea for months and just delve into that idea of God being my shepherd, and am I relying on God as my shepherd, or am I relying on fear and human will and what others are saying? But am I listening for the shepherd to guide me? Every line of that is just so healing. I would start with the 91st Psalm. "He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty." My goodness, what a protecting power that is, that idea, and practicing that, basing my prayers on that. That was so helpful for me as I had to work out of some things. And then just go to the Sermon on the Mount of Jesus, pinnacle of his teachings, a real distillation of what he taught, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. That's it. You'll begin to see the connection of the Old Testament, the New Testament, what God is, your relationship to God. And I found that very helpful. That's a great place to start, and the Spirit will lead you to the rest of all the goodies in the Bible. And with Science and Health, she actually takes that 23rd Psalm on page 578 and works it through with a spiritually scientific sense of it. Divine love is my shepherd. I shall not want. Love leads me to to lie down in green pastures. So that fleshes out, if I could use that word, deepens my sense of what that shepherd is. And I would start just with that chapter on prayer. It's 16 pages, and to me, that's what I did, and it just opened up my whole concept of God and just feeling that unity with God that became then a practical power.